A Wall Street tycoon dies, leaving behind a fortune and a carefully crafted legend. Decades later, a ghostwriter returns to examine the papers of his long-deceased wife and discovers that everything the world believed about his genius was a lie. Hernan Diaz's Trust unravels this deception through four interlocking narratives, each revealing new layers of truth about money, power, and the stories we tell about both. What emerges is a devastating portrait of how wealth doesn't just buy mansions and yachts, it purchases history itself, determining whose voices echo through time and whose are buried in forgotten archives. Benjamin Rask inherits every advantage: a tobacco merchant father who counts J.P. Morgan among his clients, elite education, and social networks that transform opportunities into fortunes. During the Panic of 1893, young Rask profits not through superior insight, but through inherited wealth. Only the privileged can hold positions while others panic sell. What captivates Rask isn't human connection, but the contortion of money, how it could be made to bend back upon itself. He views capital as a living organism that moves, eats, grows, breeds, falls ill, and may die. As his operations expand into derivatives and futures, he becomes increasingly abstract, dealing in elegant patterns few comprehend but many suffer from. Helen Rask emerges as Benjamin's opposite, intellectually gifted but deliberately self-effacing. Raised by a domineering father, she learned to become inconspicuously polite, responding with nods and monosyllables. In Lucca, during her first solo walk, Helen experiences a solemn joy she would forever pursue: independence. Meeting Benjamin at a Red Cross gala, she recognizes in his vast solitude the freedom she craved. Their unconventional marriage grants Helen autonomy for philanthropic work, while Benjamin remains absorbed in financial abstractions. After the 1929 crash, Benjamin's fortune, built through liquidations, gold purchases, and short selling, transforms him into a public scapegoat. Rumors blame him for engineering the catastrophe. Helen's intellectual circle abandons her as she deteriorates: severe eczema, paranoia, immobility. She's committed to a Swiss psychiatric institute, where she dies during experimental convulsive therapy arranged by her husband. Her trajectory reveals how women's intellectual contributions are erased or pathologized, her breakdown signaling the dissolution of boundaries between finance, politics, and domestic life. The novel shifts when Andrew Bevel, the real-life counterpart to Benjamin Rask, presents his 1938 autobiography as vindication during America's period of national decline. He positions himself as the culmination of four generations of New York financiers, a blend of his father's temperament and grandfather's spirit, a polymath who believes finance is the thread that runs through every aspect of life. He introduces wife Mildred as his muse with exceptional clear-sightedness, a stark contrast to Helen's intellectual independence. Bevel's account of the 1929 crash contradicts earlier portrayals, claiming he tried preventing it by countering reckless speculators and the blundering Federal Reserve, reframing exploitation as public service. Enter Ida Partenza, daughter of an Italian anarchist printer who considers Wall Street a mirage and stocks the fiction of a fiction. Using the pseudonym Ida Prentice, she accepts Bevel's assignment to ghostwrite his autobiography despite profound ethical misgivings. Economic necessity trumps political principles, a Depression-era reality forcing countless compromises. The process raises disturbing questions about authorship and truth. Ida invents details about Mildred, her love of detective novels, her flower arranging, only to have Bevel later repeat these fictions as genuine memories. She experiences a strange violation when her invented narrative becomes appropriated as reality. After Bevel's sudden death, Ida continues working at his firm, but carries the weight of complicity in falsifying history. Decades later, as an established writer in her 70s, she visits the Bevel Mansion, now a museum, to examine Mildred's recently released papers, seeking to confront her guilt about perpetuating Bevel's fictional version of his wife. Her journey illustrates how economic systems force individuals to compromise their principles and how that complicity exacts psychological tolls that money cannot erase. The novel's final section reveals Mildred Bevel's authentic voice through her personal journal. Far from the childlike figure her husband portrayed, Mildred emerges as a sophisticated intellectual with deep understanding of music theory, literature, and finance. Her entries expose a stunning truth. She was the financial genius behind the Bevel fortune. Mildred created a mathematical cobweb model that generated enormous wealth. She exploited market inefficiencies by creating ticker tape delays, allowing her to own the future while Andrew became celebrated as a financial clairvoyant. When she mentioned bribing ticker operators, Andrew implemented the scheme without her knowledge, making an incalculable fortune that cemented the myth of Bevel. Most significantly, she secretly guided Andrew to short the market before the 1929 crash, using a strategy she likens to musical inversions. Short selling is folding back time, like a retrograde or a palindrome. The financial empire attributed to Andrew was built by his wife, a woman whose contributions were systematically erased. Her fate, dying in a sanatorium while her husband appropriated her achievements, represents countless women whose intellectual contributions have been obscured by history. Diaz's novel explores how narratives shape reality, particularly in finance. Each section presents different versions of the same events, questioning what constitutes truth. This structure mirrors modern finance's abstractions, derivatives, futures contracts, collateralized debt obligations, creating layers of separation between transactions and real-world impacts. The title, Trust, operates on multiple levels. In finance, it's the invisible foundation where investors believe in currencies and securities with no intrinsic worth beyond collective faith. In relationships, it's the bedrock of intimacy, vulnerable to betrayal, a dynamic in the Bevel marriage and between Ida and her subject. Conflicting narratives reveal how power shapes historical record. Andrew Bevel's wealth erases competing versions, suppressing critical novels through legal pressure, hiring Ida to craft his preferred history, establishing a foundation preserving his constructed legacy. Capital's power extends beyond financial control to narrative control, determining which stories survive and which are buried. Only Mildred's hidden journal provides a counter-narrative, revealing the suppressed voices that power attempts to silence. Though set in the early 20th century, Trust speaks directly to contemporary concerns about wealth inequality, financial manipulation, and narrative power. Bevel's schemes, creating wealth from abstract numbers, mirror today's cryptocurrency, algorithmic trading, and derivatives, financial instruments increasingly detached from tangible assets. The competing narratives echo our post-truth landscape, where contradictory accounts vie for credibility. By revealing Mildred's hidden role, Diaz connects to contemporary reconsiderations of women's contributions to male-dominated fields, paralleling efforts to recognize overlooked figures like Rosalind Franklin or Margaret Keane. Her story reminds us that behind many celebrated male achievements stand women whose contributions were attributed to men or deliberately obscured. We live in an age where billionaires shape public discourse through media ownership, where financial abstractions determine material realities, and where long-suppressed voices increasingly demand recognition. Understanding wealth requires understanding the stories we tell about it, and questioning who gets to tell those stories, who benefits, and whose voices remain unheard. The next time you hear a success story, ask yourself, whose contributions have been erased to make this narrative clean? What uncomfortable truths lie buried in the archives? Because history isn't written by the victors, it's purchased by the wealthy, one carefully crafted narrative at a time.